Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there, and I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Little Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Little Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there, and I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Little Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting their essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Little Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids their vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now.
Are you ready to start living your best life today? Hey y'all, I'm Mallory and welcome to the Living Fully podcast. I'm a wife, mom, and entrepreneur here to encourage you toward a life of joy and fulfillment. My heart of big dreams took me a long way from growing up on a farm in Kentucky, from Miss America and The Amazing Race, all the way to writing a best-selling book and creating two multi-million dollar merchandise lines. Through this crazy journey, I've had a lot of highs and some lows, but I found my true self along the way. So now my hope is to motivate you to find your own version of living fully. Here, we believe you have a choice in your legacy. So let's start living it out today. I'm Mallory, and this is the Living Fully podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. I have two very special guests on the podcast today, i.e. Gary Irvin and Lisa Irvin, my parents.
Hi.
We're laughing at mom because she was like, what I don't know which what, one of these cameras to look at.
One, two, three, is four.
Oh, this is going to be great. Dad is one of everyone's favorite guests, and my mom is one of the most highly requested guests of the past several years.
Oh, dear.
she's a little stressed about coming on the podcast because she is a more private person than me and my dad. She kind of just like, you know, instead of spilling all her thoughts to everybody in the world, she kind of keeps them in a little bit sometimes. And that's okay to be that kind of person. But when you have a daughter like me, sometimes you get forced into things like this.
Amen. And here I am.
Yes, because a lot of people want to know questions about raising kids and parenting and the way that you did things. And that's a compliment to you guys because they feel like you did it well. Anytime we're all together, like all the siblings and all of our families together, people are always like, what is it that you guys did that kept your families together, you know? So I think this is going to be a great podcast discussing all things such as that. She's given my dad some instructions about combing his hair and wearing certain things and taking off his glasses. It seems he didn't comb his hair like she asked him to. She wanted him to use product, but
he has no product.
I'm
he
not
has
sure no, what product
he
is.
He has no product.
So he's here, productless and ready to talk to you guys today. So, okay, thank you guys very much for coming on. I'm really excited. So start off by telling everybody how long you've been married and maybe like the ages that you were when you had the four of us.
Okay, so we have been married 41 years. We started dating at 20, got married at 25, had you at 27, Jade at 29, 33, Luke, and 37, Gabriel.
Throughout 41 years of marriage, you guys have lived a lot of different types of lives, obviously like young children life, young children life where dad was traveling a lot. And you were really kind of like a full-time parent to four kids, which is why Jaden, yes, and I always ask my mom, like, how did you do it? Was it hard? She says it wasn't hard somehow. I don't know how it wasn't really hard.
I don't know if I'd say it wasn't hard. It was very busy. It's just what I did. When Jay was born, you were 22 months old, and that's when I quit work. Mm-hmm. And that just became my job. And it's just, it's something that I just took on. I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. It's life was kind of simpler back mm-hmm. then.
Yeah,
but for sure. very busy. You know, it was a continuation of just raising kids, and
we were kind of like a. Everyone always is like your village or whatever that they say. And nowadays, everybody's like, I don't have a village. What's everybody talking about? We kind of did have a little bit of a village that was our family because we kind of free ranged like chickens,
yes.
And we. Kind of like free-ranged between all of our aunts and uncles and everybody, because my grandparents lived kind of in the middle, and then all my aunts and uncles with all my cousins kind of lived through the field.
Yes.
So.
Just a very simple life. Simple, yeah. But busy. You know, we'd just being in a very rural area, mm-hmm. you all played with your cousins. Mm-hmm. It's what you knew. It just a simple life. I mean, to go back a day in that time, the cousins would come over. Mm-hmm. You all would just, we'd be outside, you know, we would, no one had a cell phone. Mm-hmm. So wonderful.
Yeah.
So fabulous. Sorry, guys. We would be just, you all would just be playing. It'd be simple. And I think the biggest thing is, if I could say, we would always be in the moment. Mm-hmm. You would always be in the moment. The phone would ring in the kitchen on the wall, you know, excuse me, let me go get the phone. You go answer the phone, you go back outdoor, and just everyone was in the moment.
Yeah.
And it was busy and crazy and active, but very simple.
Mm-hmm. And no distractions. It's a distracted life.
Constant
now.
Distractions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't go in the lake.
He
fell out of the tree.
We had the extra long telephone cord. So we would stretch it out the door and close the door to either, if y'all were outside, we'd go inside and close the door. Or if you were inside, we'd go outside and close the door. And then we'd have to replace the cord every so often because the little curly cord would get frayed in the door. But that was our only communication.
Uh-huh. And then one day we got a portable phone. Remember the big antenna? Remember uh-huh. the portable
yeah.
phone?
Portable
yeah.
phones, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a game changer, I guess.
You couldn't go very far, though.
Yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. I know, to go back to those simpler times. Okay, so then what was it like from your perspective then? Because you were gone 5 days a week usually, out of town, and then kind of home on the weekends.
You know, it was, and the question you started, the first thing I thought about is there was life before kids too. And mm-hmm. that's probably the most fun part. They were all fun, but, you know, I look at it as life before kids, life during kids, and life after kids is mm-hmm. kind of the three chapters of what I'm looking at. And you know, the exciting part was life with kids, because we kind of lost me and her a little bit. The life before kids was just me and her, mm-hmm. and the life
like
after kids,
mm-hmm.
it's just me and her again. Mm-hmm. So, but kids, you know, most of our memories of our 41 years together has been stuff that y'all did.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the multiple weekends that I've been to the emergency room with a broken arm or stitches, and from life on the farm, from a four-wheeler wreck, from mm-hmm. a rifle scope to the eye 3 months before Miss Kentucky. And, you know, those are things and thoughts that, you know, fun times that we had mm-hmm. from being raised kind of feral on the mm-hmm. farm.
Yeah, definitely feral. Did you ever feel like, I feel a lot of guilt, but I think it's because I'm half foot in the door, half foot out the door, because I work a lot from home. Did you ever feel like bad that you were gone? Or did you always feel like this is just what we have to do? Because Kyle's always like, this is what you do. A parent has to work. Like, why are you feeling bad about this? So I always am like, how do people not feel bad about this constantly? But I don't know.
You know, I guess we sacrificed a lot. It was joyful for us to do that. Yeah, it was guilt, but you know, we had to work at it. And Lisa had a good job that she gave up when we had Jade, mm-hmm. our second child, and then she gave up a lot more than that. She gave up, you know, dressing up and, you know, going shopping for nice clothes and things.
she took it back.
but it was on my end of it, you know, I had to go out and sell and build a business, mm-hmm. and I had a lot of responsibilities that you know, probably if I didn't have her at home with y'all, I would have felt a lot more guilty. But I was really, really comfortable that I knew that every time I would come home, y'all would be out doing something. And mm-hmm. and it was I wouldn't say simpler, because it was kind of different, but mm-hmm. The fact that she was there with y'all the whole time, mm-hmm. Made me feel a lot more comfortable being gone.
Yeah.
And then it allowed me to be successful, you know, and do what I needed to mm-hmm. do to make a living for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a different feeling. I feel the same way when Kyle's at home with our kids. I'm like, I don't know if I would have done all this had I done it a different way. But like, knowing that he's at home does make me feel better. So I see what you're saying for sure. What was the hardest thing that you ever faced as a parent, and how did you get through that?
The hardest thing, I'm going to say the most, well, there's only one. I mean, the most gut-wrenching thing that I've experienced, I'm probably going to get a little teary about this, but just watching Jade and Gaff lose Blaze. Mm. I mean, okay, so that was the most difficult thing that I, and it wasn't losing a grandchild. You know, it was through COVID and the beginning of COVID, and everything shut down. Jade went into the hospital to have Blaze. We weren't allowed to go. We didn't lay eyes on him until 32 days later. And if you want me to get into this story, but I will never forget walking into that hospital the day he was dying. Geoff called and said, okay, you all can come and see him now. And so I just remember walking into that hospital room and seeing that little angel laying on that board. And I'd never in my life seen so many cords and machines and monitors hooked up to a child. And there are two things that stuck in my mind that I will never forget. They're just ingrained in my mind. And I remember Jade. When Jade was a little girl, she was, you know, kind of shy, a little bit quiet. And she would look down, she would raise her eyes up, and she'd stick her bottom lip out with this little pout. And I just remember her holding Blaze, and she looked down, and she looked up at me, and her lip came out, and she said, I can't believe we're not going to get to take him home. Mm. And it was just, I will never forget that as long as I live. And then I remember Geoff, he was holding Blaze, and he was oblivious to anyone in the room. Mm-hmm. And he just, the same thing, he looked down and he said, you know, I asked the nurses if I could take him outside. But they said, no, he's never seen the sun. Mm-hmm. And that was the most difficult thing, to watch your children suffer and go through that. But yeah.
That was a terrible day. And then yours, what would you say?
That was probably the worst. You know, it was terrible, but, you know, just we were able to take it because everybody got to be together.
Yeah.
We got to all come in for one day to see him and say goodbye. You know, that was helpful to go through the painful part of it, because we had each other to kind of lean on.
Yeah.
You know, how do you recover from something like that? You know, I could never think the pain that Jade and Geoff went through, mm-hmm. and how to recover from that, just from being a parent, you know, that would be tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was probably my number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, probably the other one was, you know, your bout with recovery. Mm-hmm.
This one parlays into the next question, which is definitely a big part of what I think helped Jade and Geoff to get through this time in their life, what helped us as a family to get through, what helped y'all, and that is faith. And I believe that one of the greatest gifts that we were given in the way that we were raised is a strong example of faith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we lived all together, our whole family, and everyone was very faith-filled. We were a faith-filled family. But for our family, that looked like we practiced our faith all the time. You guys did. We live in a very rural community, but something that we had at our Catholic church was Eucharistic adoration. And that's basically where people go to the church every single hour of the 24-hour day. So in the middle of the night, there are slots, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 2 a.m., you know. My aunts and uncles did it. My mom did it. My grandma did it. And like as kids, we would go with them, you know, at 3 a.m., drive 15 minutes to the church, sit there for an hour and pray, come back. You know, all of those little things that you guys were just very strong examples of faith, especially mom. You were a very strong example of faith. So what role, I guess, did faith play in your marriage, do you feel like, since you talk about your life in three phases? So, like, first you were a married couple. Like, do you feel like you were just always faith-filled, like, growing up?
Yes.
Dad, do you feel like you were as well? Yeah, but I'll let you answer it first.
So I think that is the gift my parents gave me, was the gift of faith. You know, grew up Catholic. I think Dad and I are very fortunate in the fact that we grew up with the same faith. Mm-hmm. His parents ingrained that in him. My parents the same way. And it's just how we lived our life. I think when Dad and I came together, it was easy for us because we were of the same faith and had that foundation, which we brought into our dating, brought into our marriage. I mean, to me, that is the basis of everything you do in life. Just me, my opinion. But without that, I don't know how people without faith can get through things.
Yeah.
Like losing Blaze and just trials and tribulations of a marriage.
We met in fourth grade in a Catholic school. And she, two seats behind me. So.
Yes, we were very fortunate to have a Catholic school in our small community. We went to a different, well, first we went to the same one, and then you changed over to the other one. Uh-huh. But anyway, with all that, I mean, faith is, it's the foundation of our marriage, of our raising our kids. Yeah.
Something I can always, or that I took into my life, lighting candles is a big thing, but also, like, we try never, ever to miss a Sunday of church. And I think that even on vacation, and now our family, still, we will find a church, no matter what denomination it is. If there isn't a Catholic church, we'll go. And, you know, we just make it a priority. And, like, Kyle, you know, grew up half Catholic, half Baptist, which I guess technically you did too, a little bit, or half Catholic, half Church of Christ. But Grandma was just so dominant in her Catholic faith that Papa's faith kind of took a backseat, and then he became Catholic later in life. Yeah, that's, you know, the reason that Kyle had decided, and he decided on his own to become Catholic. So that, I do think it's a lot easier to be of the same faith.
Yes.
If you can be. If one person is like, you know what, I like this faith, I'm okay joining or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think logistically it feels easier.
And with that said, that's our faith. Catholicism is our faith. I mean, God is everywhere in every church.
Agreed.
But it was easy for us coming together as the same faith.
Yes.
We celebrated First Communion, baptism, you know, those are family celebrations, and those were around faith, but they were also around family too, and coming together and, you know, in the church or in God's presence was always important. When I was a kid, we celebrated the same thing. My parents did, my grandparents did. So that was something that kind of instilled that to us, and as far as being very important. So and then, you know, I'm so glad that I give most of the credit to Lisa. You know, she's the one that's been disciplined and scheduled around, you know, we've got to do this, and kind of been you know, I would have been kind of like Dad, you know, we're you know, I see faith and on the top of a mountain or in a lot of different ways. And And Lisa practices her faith every day. And, and is a lot better at it than I am.
Well, I tend to disagree. I mean, you practice faith in your everyday life, every different aspect of your life.
Yeah. I think that the way that you practiced faith always included family. It wasn't really your personal journey of faith was important, but also I think you saw that as a parent, as something that you wanted to instill in us. Mm-hmm. And you actively made decisions like, I don't care if everybody's going to the lake on Sunday after prom, you have to go to church and you have to work that mm-hmm. into your schedule or you can't go. Like, you made parenting decisions based on faith. And then, you know, we made it our own. And then when I went to college, there were 7 people that went to the Catholic Church, but I was one of the 7 on Sundays, mm-hmm. you know, which is something that is definitely most of the time instilled from environment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is important. I know that your mom, too, was very... She was a lot like you, right? She always lit candles in her bathtub.
That's where I got my candle lighting from. I know. We would be going on a trip, and I'm like, okay, we're flying here. Would you please light a candle? And she would, I guess she got them from the church. I hope they were blessed. I don't know. They may not have been blessed, but they were in the bathtub.
Yes.
But that's where I got my candle lighting from, which is so important to me. And, yeah.
This is probably something we could talk the whole podcast about, because we really lived a wild, crazy childhood. Well, the last time we were home, somebody was telling the story in our house about how the local doctor said, don't let your kids go over there. Your kids are going to get hurt bad. He's like, their kids won't, because they're used to being wild and crazy, but like, don't send your kids over there because they're going to get hurt, because we were so wild. That's such a funny story.
Well, we lived in the country, and we were wild. You were very wild.
We were wild. Like, very much risk takers, dangerous. We just did dangerous things because it was just how we were. We were just, it wasn't bad. We weren't bad. It was just very physically dangerous.
Yes. I totally agree. Yes.
And we were used to it. And that's, none of us in our family ever broke a bone. Everybody else did, but like,
people,
we got stitches and stuff. And
the city people in the small towns around us would come out. Yes, they are the ones that would get hurt because they didn't know how to live in the country.
But what are some funny, like some funny stories from our childhood?
Okay, well, let's start with one about you. Okay. So one day after church, so it was just Dad and I and you were probably 3 years old. Maybe Jade, was in the, was with us. But anyway, so we went to Hunan, this Chinese restaurant, and it was full of people, very big restaurant. And you were under the table, and Dad and I were eating, and I think we had a few people with us.
She got sunburnt the day before.
Yes.
She had really bad sunburn.
I didn't want to elaborate on everything, but had a little sunburn, had on a cute little dress. And you were under the table, and all of a sudden we hear everyone laughing, and we looked around, and you had taken off all of your clothes, running through the restaurant.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, Dad, get her. No, you get her. We were arguing over who was going to go get you. I went and got you.
Oh,
yeah,
my
god! The best mom. But I'm like,
that is funny.
I think she didn't climb up on the buffet table.
She was running around. She was being chased around the tables in the restaurant.
Naked.
Funny.
Completely. Oh, gosh.
That's a good one.
I don't know. There's so many stories. I couldn't begin to think.
I also had never ordered food from a restaurant like pickup or like delivery until college, and I was
we had no delivery.
Order a pizza and they just bring it to your house. Like, it just was so foreign to me.
I can share a little story, not so funny. So you went to college at Swanee. First time you were coming home, Thanksgiving. So you encountered an accident. You were on 24.
Oh God.
Swanee to Nashville. My first child had finally gone away to school. Gonna take on the world. So my phone rings. Of course, I go in the bedroom to pick up the phone. And, Mom, I think there's been an accident. We're backed up. Okay. So I kept calling, checking on you, calling, checking. You were fine. And then about an hour later, I called you. And I said, so how's it going? And you said, oh, it's fine now. We were stopped, but the last hour, I met a trucker named Roy, and I asked him to get in my car with me, and we listened to the Dixie Chicks.
I thought I got in his truck.
Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. She got in his truck. So, Roy, if you're out there, in the back. Thank you for being a nice man.
It was stopped dead, and we were talking because we had our windows rolled down, and we were sitting there for like ever. And so he's like, well, you want to sit up here with me? And
I
was like, okay, that sure.
And I'm like, Mallory. And you're like, what? You can't get in the truck with strangers. And you're like, Mom, you told us we've got to be nice to everybody.
We were a little naive growing up in the rural community.
Yes.
That's a good story.
So, Roy, thank you for being a nice man.
He was nice. He liked the Dixie Chicks, too. We just talked. Yeah. Okay, what's a funny story? Do you have a funny story?
You know, y'all were nicknamed when you were a kid. You did these fashion shows, and you're talking about the Dixie Chicks. It reminded me of the Dixie Chunks.
Yeah, we called ourselves.
That was Tom Willett.
The and, Dixie Chunks.
you would have material, and you'd make these outfits, and you'd all perform on our front porch.
Mallory would always be in the front. The NJ background singers, always backup singers. You would hot glue
and then the boys'
gun,
job was just to destroy or aggravate her, to either just not pay any attention to her direction and ignore everything that they.
I gave up on them pretty quick and just went with the Jade and Thea were my minions.
They would do whatever I told them to do.
But you know that's all we had. That's all y'all had. It was either a four wheeler or fishing or you know there wasn't a lot of activity. We were 14 miles from the Walmart we would go there on Sunday after church, and that was about it. I would be gone, so y'all were marooned on the farm, so you had to look for your own fun.
Yeah, it was so awesome. We were creative kids. It was just like it was so play-based and fun, but like, you know, people always ask the question, they're like, oh, it's interesting that you ended up in fashion, because I always thought that I would end up in singing. And I'm like, well, looking back, I did do a lot of dress design and clothing creation, like for years and years and years. I remember, and then we had a seamstress neighbor who would like, you know, she had all these buttons and fabric scraps, and we would make all kinds of stuff with that stuff. And you know, even though we were in a rural community, there was opportunity to be creative and for a decent enough education and like to get all the things that I feel like we needed in life. You know, we always think about it. It's like we live in Nashville and there's so much opportunity, but I'm just like, we ended up fine and we didn't have a lot of opportunity. Like we made do with what we had.
You all created every day, all day long.
Yeah.
You know, there was also a time too where, you know, we traveled so much. You traveled with us for 1 year when we lived in Pensacola Beach, which that was about the only time we ever kind of left the farm.
Yeah.
And you know, I kind of always said, well, maybe I can live in a big city and then I could, where my work is, and I can fly in and out and have everybody to where I'm home every night. But the nature of our work, we traveled. So I'd rather y'all be at a base where we had family around, which we did, because Mom was on her own. She really, my mom and dad were there. Mm-hmm. My brothers and sisters were there. And then we had this whole tribe of cousins that y'all played with. And those were your friends and growing up. So so we had a lot of support on that farm that a lot of times you don't have. You were taught a lot of bad lessons. You taught a lot of the kids a lot of bad lessons, probably. but
not bad lessons. We were just wild. Yeah.
But it was kind of you were raised by the village. You were raised by, you know.
But it was a beautiful time.
Yes, it was. Well, beautiful. And too, that's part of the reason why you learned to fly, and like you, because we didn't have an airport. It wasn't like you could have built your business from just our community back in the day. It's like no one was as connected. I mean, they had email back then, but no one had cell phones. Like, no. Mm-hmm. So you just did what you had to do to keep us there, but also be able to build a big business, which is admirable. And I think it's rare to be able to figure out like the perfect way to raise your family and the perfect way to like forge your career path. I think a lot of times you have to sacrifice, and you kind of found a way to do both in a way, but you had a spouse that sacrificed, you know?
So. You know, and I moved back to not only because of meeting Lisa, and we knew each other all through high school, but we really didn't start dating until my senior year in college. And you know, I said, once I leave this farm, I'm never going to come back. I'll be out of here. And I was the oldest of six, so I had to find work real quick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I went to college for 4 years. And I said, that's the last thing I want to do is move back home. Because, you know, one is farming was a tough job. Mm-hmm. Coal mining, yeah, I loved what I did, but it was also a dangerous, tough job. You know, I decided I want to do anything but those two things. Mm-hmm. Because they were hard work and you were out of control. You had no control on what your future would be. So, mm-hmm. I was dreaming of bigger things for that. And I met Lisa, a local person. I said, you know, we kind of had the same ways of thinking. And then, you know, when I started having kids, I said, you know, would I want to move them to a big city? Would I want them to be raised outside of this environment? And, you know, then I kind of went all in. I said, no, I, as much as I hated living on the farm when I was a kid, because I felt I missed out on things, as I got older, I was happy that I wasn't educated on bad things at an early age. And I said, I'd rather... my kids are going to get exposed to bad things, but when they do, maybe they're old enough and maybe we've taught them enough to, they can make good decisions around the bad things.
Okay. I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there. And I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Lil Critters. So it's back to school time. And this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Lil Critters gummy vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Lil Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. As most of y'all know, I'm a mom to three young kids, and I know a lot of you guys are too. And the one thing we all use is diapers. That's why I want to tell you about how great Pampers Cruisers 360 is. Pampers Cruisers 360 is a must-have baby-proof diaper for your wild child. I don't know about your children, but Sunday, who is now two, has figured out how to strap on and off her own diaper, but Pampers Cruisers 360 will fix that problem. Unlike ordinary taped diapers where babies can rip off the tape or the tabs, Cruisers 360 is tape-free and hence removal-proof and baby-proof. It has a 360-degree stretchy waistband that simply slides right on. Pampers Cruisers 360 keeps up with your wild child with up to a 100% leak-proof, gap-free fit. No matter how your baby moves, it's the ultimate baby-proof. Try Pampers Cruisers 360 with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. They're made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess, with Free and Gentle mess meets its match. Add Pampers Cruisers 360 and Free and Gentle Wipes to your cart or pick them up at your local grocery or big box store. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality customizable photo goods for your digital photos. Driven by belief that everyone has a story to tell, this company is known for its elevated design and thoughtfully sourced materials. Signature products include the Lay Flat album, touting ultra-thick pages and foil-stamped covers, textured matte everyday prints, and a line of customizable frames. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, they have a product you
you can personalize. I don't know about your kids, but Ford and Shep love flipping through photo book memories that we have laying around our house that we've made with Artifact Uprising. We have some from our wedding, vacations through the years, and holidays. And I love having the books around the house for the whole family to enjoy. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, Living Fully listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use the code LivingFully through December 31st.
And, yeah. You know, some of that did come true. So it was kind of, I felt I was torn about whether to stay or whether to leave. Mm-hmm. And I think staying was probably one of the best decisions we ever made.
Yeah.
And talking about being a sacrifice, it was never a sacrifice. It's what I chose to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was my job.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It's just,
You've always said that like that. I think that's a perspective shift, that it wasn't a sacrifice, it was what you chose to do. Because I think a lot of people do see it through the lens of it's a sacrifice. And I think maybe you live out every day like, well, I'm sacrificing. And that's a lack mentality in a way. And you always are just like, it just was what it was.
I felt very blessed to be able to stay home. And just being a full-time stay-at-home mom doesn't make you the best parent. Mm-hmm. You can work, you can do, I mean, being a good parent has to do with just, you know, how you raise your child, how that one-on-one time, whether it's after work, you know what I'm saying? It's not all about being a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And, very good point.
You know, and I see her do the same things with her grandkids that she did with y'all.
Yes, such a good grandparent. You know,
singing to you, and you know the nursery. Yeah, and those are things that y'all did as 2 and 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Is singing.
Yeah.
You know, and she's the one that taught you how to sing.
I didn't teach you how to sing. Jesus gave you that.
I really did have like a full-blown small-town version of a singing career from the age of 6 until I left. And you weren't an entertainer and didn't come from like a family of musicians or dancers or like anything like that. But you did help me in that way. Like you would help us with routines, and you would set up my practices, and you would critique, or you would help me pick the songs that I'm going to do for the particular thing. And I think that it's interesting that you were a coach of something you didn't know how to do.
So I got a story.
You did it good, though.
I remember, though, the first time you performed, because I think Aunt Vicky was always saying, Mallory, you need to be in the talent show at the fair. And you're like, oh. Anyway, one day you came and you said, okay, I want to be in the talent show. So you sang Daddy's Hands.
I know. You know what's funny? Daddy's Hands. That was Ford's age.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
And it was an open talent show, all ages. And so, anyway, it was your time. We were all sitting and waiting. It was your time to come on stage. And we're like, where is she? Where is she? And I went around to the back, and you had on your boots and your cowboy hat and your big round glasses that you wore all the time. And you said, and you were, and I said, oh, my God, you were getting ready to walk up the stairs and come out on stage. And you're like, and I said, Mallory, you don't have to do this. Yes, I do. And you came out. And you won the talent show. So
I did. I beat all the 40-year-olds in our hometown.
Oh, my gosh.
Man. Yeah. I do think that it was a very innate thing. Like, that was a true. I think that some kids, if you give them the space, will find their gifts and talents on their own. And then you can foster that in them, even if you don't have experience in that realm, which we had so much space to become who we were going to become. The boys had less space because wrestling was so what we did for boys, but the girls like really had a lot of room to become the people that, you know, we were supposed to be. And the boys did too, but like there was just a heavy wrestling hand for all the boys.
By the way, that was the only time you were fearful. I never saw fear from that point on.
That's great. That's awesome. Okay, I just had one more thing that I was thinking of, a funny story. And because Dad was saying that, like, you know, kids won't be exposed to bad things until later. But, like, our version of bad things and, like, acting out when we were younger was not it's almost funny. And you know what I think is so funny is that Gabe was like the wildest kid of all of us, and he's like the most overprotective parent.
And so true.
I was thinking about the, like, one time Gabe in the middle of the night at like 15, he didn't even have his license, or 14, drove all the way 15 minutes to town with his friend to get a hamburger in the middle of the night. Like, that's what he snuck out to do. And then on the way back, got pulled over by the sheriff. You know, the sheriff had him in the back car, and he's like, I'm going to give you a chance to call your dad. And he called Luke, who was a freshman in college at the time. And he's like, hello. And Luke's like, yeah, like screaming over the music. And the police officer was like, I've got your son, Gabe Irvin. He's, is this Gary Irvin? He's like, no, this is Luke. Who is this? And he looked at Gabe and he's like, I'm going to give you one more chance. And then he called you guys, and you don't seem to get too worked up about things like that. I guess because
the story goes, so we're in bed, the phone rings. So Gary answers the phone. And it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe. And he goes, okay, bye. Hey, Mom, Gabe's in jail. No, he's not. He's in bed. And he was literally 14 or 15. His friend did not drive, stole his dad's truck, came. Gabe met him at the end of the driveway. Anyway, long story short, snuck out to go get a cheeseburger. Yeah. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, Gabriel. I think Gabe is the most overprotective. And he was like a daredevil every single day.
The time before the fruit roll-up.
Oh, yeah. They were like three or like four and five.
Yeah,
yes, that was terrible.
Well, yeah,
Gabe,
we didn't have any sugar in our
Elijah,
house. We had to do what we had to do to get it.
Snuck up. Okay, so Gabe and Elijah, first cousin, we didn't have a lot of sugar in our home. I was a bad mama.
No.
And Aunt Robin, two houses over, kept fruit roll-ups in her pantry.
Two houses, probably a quarter mile away. So
Gabe and Elijah go over, and they're literally climbing up on, trying to get on the roof. And Uncle Scott, thank goodness, stopped them. They were going to go down the chimney like the Grinch, go into the pantry, steal the fruit roll-ups, and go back up. They would have died in the chimney. So
at 3 a.m. Yes. Luckily, Aunt Robin heard them. I think that a big challenge in people's marriages or parenting journeys is disagreement. Like, what happens when – we've talked a lot of things that you guys agreed on. You agreed to raise us on the farm. You agreed to sacrifice, and you would raise the kids. You would work. You agreed on your faith. You agreed, you know, on a lot of things. What happens when you disagree, I think, is a question that I – would like to know as a parent. Like, how do you get through those things? And the thing that I can remember, obviously, the biggest disagreement that involves my life was something that was a really big deal was sending me to treatment. So you very much thought I needed to go to treatment. We didn't even know what treatment was or what was the problem or anything, but like from what you could gather, this was the route that you thought. He kind of was just like, I don't know. Like you kind of had this disagreement over this big pivotal moment. So take me back there and take me back to, like, how do you deal with disagreement, especially when it's something that is so big and you need the support of your spouse?
I don't know that that was a disagreement, so to speak. So with that, you were in Nashville, living in Nashville. And, you know, to me, your treatment was just a snippet of your life. I mean, you had a beautiful life before, beautiful life after. And that was just a very huge bump in the road. But so we didn't know what you were going through for a while. You lived in Nashville, kind of knew something was not going the way things should be. You were acting a little different and that sort of thing. But then you came home to do an event, and I don't know what happened, but I immediately knew something's not right. You know, something is, you know, I just knew in my heart you had to go away, and I was going to do everything I could to save you. And dad was just, if you'll agree or not, but I think he was just a little slower of getting to where I was. Yeah. Was it a disagreement? To me, that in our life was not a disagreement, because I did not care what anybody thought. I didn't care, you know, I was going to save my daughter's life. I didn't care if the world knew. I just didn't care. Didn't know anything about treatment, didn't know what to do. And I think Dad was just slower to see it all, more resistant, if you will. I remember the day I called Aunt Laura and I'm like, you got to help me. She's got to go away and you got to help me and we got to find a place now. So I was already on board. Does that make sense? Don't know. I think Dad just took a little longer.
I knew that you needed help. And, you know, I guess, you know, I don't think I was ever embarrassed by you. I was embarrassed for you, maybe. I don't know if that sounds goofy, but, you know, your whole life was around who you were. And it probably wasn't until we went through therapy with you while you were in recovery. And you know, it was you know, the two worst things that I think was you know, Blaze and then the recovery, you know, going through that process. But, you know, in with that, you know, I agree with Mom. I didn't disagree. I knew that you needed help. It's just maybe I didn't agree on how.
Yeah.
And it wasn't till we went through the process that, you know, a parent does. It's a parent's worst nightmare, the death of a grandkid, you know, and it wasn't that bad, but because you're going to recover from this. You're going to go through recovery, and you took that on. But to you know, as a father, you know, saying it's something I can't fix, that was hard. You know, I couldn't fix Blaze. You know, and I went to every doctor's appointment, and there was no fixing.
And then one thing too, I remember talking about husband and wife agreeing, disagreeing, having a different opinion. We were coming back after we took you to treatment, and we were flying back, and I just remember being so peaceful. And I just knew he felt the same way. And I said, oh my goodness. I said, I feel so peaceful because you were safe and you were going to get well. Mm-hmm. And Dad said, are you kidding me? I feel like I just abandoned my daughter.
Yeah.
And so I guess in that aspect, what I want to say about that is, it's husband and wife, you're not always going to agree or be on the same page, but it's okay. And you kind of have to respect the other person's opinion or thoughts. And you get through it. You get through it. But it's okay to kind of not be on the same page and in the same space. You know, you both love your daughter. You love your children. But sometimes you have totally different.
Yeah, well, you're two different people.
Yeah,
so different.
Kind of what got me on the other side is the same way as it did with Blaze is, you know, we even brought Mom and Dad to Parent Weekend. So we didn't see or talk to you for weeks, or it was months, was it?
No, we didn't get to talk to them,
no,
but it was
not
like
at
very
first,
limited.
Not at first.
I have lots of funny stories about that.
Yeah.
Mom, she would call Mom. You got to get me out of here.
By the end, I liked it, honestly. It was a great experience for me. And I'm thankful that, but I embraced it. I've always been an achiever, and I almost feel like I like went all in and decided that I was going to be the best at treatment and recovery as well.
Yes.
Just kind of like I did. My therapist called me the queen of rehab. They were like, oh, great. We've got the queen of rehab here. And she was like, I just don't understand. She's like, we've taken all of your things away, but it's like, you got a new title every day and everybody knows all that is just, you know,
well,
being
and
the best at everything I was trying to be and that as well. But.
I think it was a gift. You have to look at life that way. It was a gift to you so that you could be the person you are and get back
absolutely.
To people and write your book and all that.
It taught me a different way to live. Mm-hmm. And it changed the person that I was. And it was an absolute gift that would not have happened had I not gone through that. So it was absolutely. And I'm grateful for it too. Okay. So if you could go back to any age in your life, what would it be and why?
If I could go back, it would only be for a day. It would only be for a day, and I'd go back, and I'd be sitting in my backyard, and I'd be watching you all play with your cousins. Just the simplicity and the innocence of kids. Yeah. I mean, just one day. Yeah. I like my life.
You've always embraced like my grandkids. Your age and your phase of life. That's something that I admire you in you, because most women do not. And you were always like, I'm proud to be 66.
I don't know that I'm proud.
66.
I don't know that. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, you can't go back.
Yeah. But you own that and embrace it, and you don't try to be in a different phase than you are. And I think that that's actually more rare than you think that it is. Okay, what about you?
You know, probably the age I was when we were going through the insanity of kids, that was probably the most painful, but the most fun times. The honeymoon phase of our relationship when we first met, you know, that was fun. And, you know, I don't know what you call this, the nursing, the rocking chair age or what, the wheelchair. The old age of or the sunset, I guess that's the right term.
It is what it is, I know.
But they've all had good times. And, you know, age is a funny thing. And to say, I want to go back. Then you'll start all over again. Mm-hmm. And I think who you are or what you've learned over the years and the good and bad experiences that you've had. So I don't know if I'd want to go back and relive some of those things. I'm glad that I went through them, kind of like your recovery and Blaze, but I don't want to go back. Go from here on out. We're 67.
We're not 67.
She
I'm
acts
66.
Like I'm ancient. She said I'm a grumpy
like
old man.
I don't mind apart. Being. One day Ford said, "How old are you, Grammy?" I'm like, "I'm a 6 and a 6. So. Oh, you're like me. Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's
awesome.
All good.
What do you like the most about this phase? The sunset slash rocking chair slash wheelchair.
You know, it's
I'm not in a rocket chair yet. Yeah. Oh,
it's kind of, you know, this is her supermodel phase now. She's in the,
dang.
She's on my Instagram all the time with you doing modeling, and she loves fashion just like you do. Does. So she's in her supermodel phase, and I'm in a crotchety old man phase.
No,
you know, I like it. It's just us. You know, we kind of it's more less scheduled with kids than we had kids, and even when we had work and careers before we had kids, now we don't need to work. We choose to work. Our life is still around our kids, but it's more around our grandkids than it is our kids, and we get a lot of enjoyment out of whatever the grandkids are doing. So, you know, the phase with your grandkids is kind of, for a grandparent, you know, it's kind of a fun phase that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, I'm looking forward to the next few years. So say you go back, you're saying that, well, I don't like where I am now. I want to rewind and do it like mom's podcast. You want to rewind and say that again. You learn something from saying it wrong or from doing the mistakes that you make in life. And I don't know if I want to rewind.
No. Yeah. Well, if I, could know everything I know, we'd go back in a minute, but it didn't work that way.
But if we didn't make those mistakes, we wouldn't.
I know. Yeah. That's what I said. Life is life. And
But what do you like better, being a parent or a grandparent?
A grandparent. Well, I don't know. I mean, being a parent was fabulous.
Yeah, grandparents way better.
What I want to say about that.
I knew you were going to say that. That's a good answer. Well, I think a lot of people say
that.
Well,
because I put everything I had into raising my children, I feel like I did a really great job.
Yes, you did.
I don't like to talk about my children like that. But with that said, as far as being a grandparent, one of the things I want to say is you can't decide how things are going to be. You can't envision when I'm a, or that, so to speak, you know, when I'm a grandparent, you know, everybody's going to live where I live, or you just make it work however it works. And we love coming to Nashville, get the city life, be around you guys. We're so fortunate. We have a condo. We can spend so much time here. And then going back home, and of course we have Clark and another one on the way at home, but no, life is fun. It's fun now. I mean, it was always fun, but it's...
The difference, though, in a parent or grandparent is you don't have to do the hard work. You don't have to be the disciplinarian. You can let them be bad. You can let them, you can let them do things that we wouldn't let you do when you were a kid. So I think that's a little bit easier. Plus, you know, if they're having a bad day, we always take them back.
And there's
We couldn't do that with you. We had to deal with it.
No, when Ford came up to me the other day, and he's like, "Grammy, will you move to Nashville?" And I said, "Well, I mean, let me think about that." And he's like, "You know, you can move in with us." I mean,
oh no, he loves you so
much. It
just
makes your heart. But, I mean, it's just so sweet.
Grammy, every time we tell him, Ford, we love him, he says, "Well, I love you, but I love Grammy the most." Every single time. So but I love Grammy the most. He has to let me and Kyle know that every day.
Back to the funny story. So, Ford, you called to see what we were going to do that night. And, and Ford was asking, "What are you going to come by? And where's Grandma?" And I said,
"Grammy."
I said, "She's at CrossFit." And she goes to CrossFit every morning. And he piped up. He said, "She's eating crawfish."
Yeah.
So Lisa goes to crawfish every morning.
Yeah, she eats her crawfish. That's how she stays so fit and healthy. The morning crawfish. That's great. Okay, what is one thing that your children have taught you?
I think my children have taught me many things. I think my children have reinforced the fact that raising children is the most important job you can have. You know, I'm going to say this. One thing, one compliment that I hear about every one of you all so much is your children are so kind. And, you know, it just makes me proud. I mean, you know, as a parent, you try your best to do your best. You don't know how your children are going to turn out. But to me, that it just is the ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
That I just hear that over and over. Your children are so kind. They're so nice.
Okay, so then, Dad, what is something your children have taught you?
You know, I guess I've learned a lot from my children. You know, maybe not to take myself as too seriously. You know, there's nothing that can't be undone. And I think it's more than just one day or one mistake. It's the years that it took to make you, and then you know, so probably the biggest single thing is not to take yourself too seriously. You know, to be consistent with both your the way you treat your children. You know, that's probably another one. You know, I've learned so much from you. You know, you taught me, I taught you how to fish. You taught me about fashion and how to be a pageant person. My boys have taught me about, all kinds of crazy stuff. but probably the biggest one single thing, I guess I'd say, is I probably learned how to, You never learn the meaning of love until you have a kid or a grandkid. And that's probably the biggest thing. And it's different than me and Lisa. Your kids and your grandkids are just unconditional.
If you could give young parents one piece of advice on how to raise good children, what would it be?
Tim McGraw, "Be Humble and Kind." That song is the best. Just listen to that song. Mm-hmm.
That always is a good song.
The entire song.
Okay. That's good.
He says it much better than me.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
What's the question?
If you could give any piece of advice to young parents, what would it be and why?
You can't make any mistakes. You know, everybody, there's so much advice out there now. You know, not to say listen to what your parents say, what they do. There's so many sources for information. Maybe don't listen to what you get on the internet.
Yeah,
don't,
that's a good piece
don't
of advice.
Listen to what you read. Everybody's trying to make a different angle or around. If you want your kids to turn out right, then you got to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe do what made you. If yeah. you like where you're at right now, then maybe it's because of me and Lisa or my mom and dad or her mom mm-hmm. and dad. So maybe back up and say, that's what made me. And maybe what I learned from my parents is what I want mm-hmm. to pass down to my kids. So
yeah, like just do you and don't compare yourself to any other parenting.
Okay, so this parlays very well into the last question, which is on legacy. So what I feel like binds a lot of this together is your choice on leaving a legacy, how you wanted your kids to turn out, how you guys wanted to live, you know, just the focus on passing on something after you're gone. So what do you want your legacies to be?
I think mine would be the faith that was instilled in me, that I have instilled in you all, that you continue that and instill in your children.
Yeah.
Without that, you ain't got much.
Mm-hmm.
Curiosity, probably, to constantly explore your limits. That's what I want my kids to do. I don't want them to be satisfied with just average. I want them to constantly question, what I'm going to do to make the world a better place. What I'm going to do to make myself better, my family better. What I'm going to do it's kind of me in the mountains. It's the same thing. What I'm going to do to show my kids that I'm trying to be the best person so they can take that as an example. Curiosity with yourself, with the world, is maybe what I want to pass down.
I think that's great. And I think that was a very great podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Living Fully podcast. Thank you guys for coming on. I really appreciate it because, Mom, I know this is not your thing. So I really appreciate today you allowing it to come in on my thing here. And, Dad, I always appreciate having you. But this was great. This was great. I am very grateful that, you can't choose your parents. You can choose a lot of things in life, but you cannot choose the family that you're born into. And, if I could choose it all over again of every single parents in the world, I would choose the two of you because it was just the absolute best. Thank you guys for listening to or watching the Living Fully podcast. I know this was a special episode that people reference back to and really love a little glimpse into our family and into the wonderful parents that made us who we are. And I just really appreciate you guys listening. And tune in next week for more. Hey, friend, if you're loving the show, I'd love to hear from you. Head to your podcast app, scroll down to where it says ratings and reviews, and share your thoughts well with a rating and review. Your words might be just what the next person needs to tune in and start living fully today.